Here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, God talks about the inner man. And if you're a born-again Christian, this is important to you because you have been given an inner man who was before dead, before you were saved, and has been quickened and given life by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that inner man is to be fed, is to grow. The problem is that we also have an outer man, the old man, that constantly gives us trouble and is completely opposed to the inner man. And so we have this battle that goes on from the day we're saved until the day we leave this earth. And that's what this is about. So beginning in verse 16 of Ephesians 3, the Bible says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So today we are going to focus on the inner man. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful for the privilege to come to your house together and assemble as you've commanded us to, around our Savior and around your word. And we pray now you would open the word to our hearts, and we would be listening and allowing you to speak to us and change us through its power, that Jesus Christ, our Savior, would be magnified, and that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. We give you this service, and we love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. So before we go into all of this about the inner man, I want us to see that the means for which the inner man to be strengthened is this unlimited reservoir of the grace of God. Did you see that in verse 16? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. How much is that? How much riches of God's glory is there? Well, we all know the answer to that, don't we? This is God we're talking about. And so we have no place as God's children to say, well, I can't do it. I can't grow the inner man. I can't feed the inner man. Yes, you can. With God's help, you can. Because God says it's according to the riches of his glory that all of this is possible. That the inner man can be strengthened and controlled and grounded and so forth, as we're going to see. This is an unlimited amount of riches and glory. Go to look at Ephesians 3, verse 8, just up a little bit, where he says, unto me who am in less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. How much riches is there? It's unsearchable. Isn't that good? God says God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so we have this unlimited reservoir of God's riches to draw upon to be what God wants us to be in the inner man. So what does he want? Number one, verse 16, he wants the inner man to be strengthened. He says there, the inner man to be strengthened. The day you're born again, the inner man is given life. He's a baby. He's very immature, doesn't know much about the things of God, has to read and study God's word to learn about the things of God, and has to grow and mature in faith. He needs strengthened. And God wants every one of us to see that the inner man be strengthened, as it says there, with the might by his Spirit. That we would have this power that God intended us to have to serve him, to resist temptation, to endure persecutions and so forth, to be strengthened. You know, when Jesus, if you go to Acts 1:8, when Jesus prophesied of the Holy Spirit's descent, if you will, to the earth on the day of Pentecost, it was all about power. Notice Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power. This hadn't happened yet. Jesus said this is about to happen. Because right after this, Jesus ascended to heaven. And then they were told to wait at Pentecost. They didn't really know what they were waiting for. They just knew they were waiting for power, but they didn't know the means by which the power would come. It was going to be through the Holy Spirit. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. But remember, that Holy Spirit indwells us. How much power is there? Infinite. Infinite power through the Holy Spirit of God to strengthen the inner man. We're told in Ephesians 6:10, turn over there, be strong. We're commanded to be strong, but look at the next three words, in the Lord. This strength we're talking about is not something that you can drum up out of your own internal self, is it? This strength comes from God. We're just wicked sinners saved by grace. So how does the inner man get strengthened? He gets strengthened by God, the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Well, Christians often quote Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. But they always emphasize, I can do all things. But they don't emphasize, through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's Christ that strengthens us and makes it possible for us to do all things. The strength comes from God, not from us. So yeah, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And God wants the inner man to be strengthened. And we'll talk more about how that happens through His Word. But it's through the Holy Spirit that God wants the inner man strengthened. Is the inner man strong in your life? Or is he weak? It's always up to us what we choose to do with our lives. Go to Romans 7, where Paul talks about this battle that he had and that we all have in our Christian lives, Romans chapter 7. And he mentions the inward man in this passage. And he's honest about the fact that the outer man wants to do things and the inner man wants to do things, and they want to do opposite things. Let's start at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul here is talking about his own battle. And he said the inward man wants to serve God. The inward man wants to learn more about God. The inward man wants to do the right thing. The outward man wants to sin. And so the inward man needs to be strengthened. Go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, where the Bible teaches that one of the ways that this inward man is strengthened is it must be renewed. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How do you renew the inward man day by day? We don't go to church every day, although it'd be great if we did. So how do we renew the inward man day by day? We all know the answer to that, don't we? It's right here. It's in this book. We have to be in it every day. We have to be in this powerful book to allow the Holy Spirit to use it to renew the inward man day by day. And so the inward man, number one, has to be strengthened. And that can only happen as the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to our inward man. Secondly, go back to our verse there, Ephesians 3, verse 17. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Here in Ephesians 3:17, what is God saying? He's saying that he wants the inward man to not only be strengthened, but he wants it to be controlled. By who? By us or by God? Well, by Jesus. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, right? In Galatians 2:20, he says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he said, the life which I now live, by the faith of the Son of God, I live. Well, let's look at it, Galatians 2:20, because I want us to see that the life that we are to be living, the life that is to be controlled, is to be controlled by Jesus. Galatians 2:20, most of you know it by heart. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. So what Paul is saying is doctrinally, the old man, he's crucified, he's dead. The day I got saved, he was killed. The new man, now I want this new man to be lived by Jesus. But that only happens, of course, as we allow Jesus to control us, isn't it? As we allow him to take over. That's what it means when the Bible says we're to walk in the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? It means we're to be controlled by the Spirit. And God wants the inner man not only to be strengthened, but he wants him to be controlled by God. This only happens as we yield. Go to Romans chapter 8. Again, it always comes down to our will. God gave us a free will. He gave us the decision, the free will to get saved or not get saved. And he gives us the free will to daily yield to self or yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Notice Romans chapter 8, verse 5. The Bible says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Every day we have a choice. I'm going to be controlled by the flesh, or I'm going to be controlled by the Spirit. Now, while you're in Romans, look at chapter 6, where he uses this very important word, yield. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Modern day, when you see that give way sign, that means yield. Let them go first. Amen? If you don't follow the sign, what happens? An accident. God wants us to be controlled. He wants us to yield to the Spirit of God that the inner man can flourish as Jesus controls it. So number one, strengthen. Number two, control. Look at verse 17 of Ephesians 3, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. I said we'd get to the Word of God. This is where he really emphasizes it, that he wants this inner man to be rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. How's that even possible? We'll go to Colossians 1:23. And what we find as we study it out is we can't be rooted and grounded without the Word of God. Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Now look at Colossians 2, verse 7. Actually, verse 6. As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. God wants the inner man to be rooted and grounded. So that, go to Ephesians 4:14, when we are challenged with false doctrine, we're ready. The inward man is ready. Their inward man is rooted and grounded. And when the false doctrine comes, and by the way, it's just going to get worse until Jesus comes. But here in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God wants us to be rooted and grounded because there is going to be this every wind of doctrine. We got to be ready. But only if the inner man is rooted and grounded. So this is God's will for us, that the inner man be strengthened, that the inner man be controlled by the Lord, that the inner man be rooted and grounded. But more than that, verse 4, he says that we may be able to, or verse 18, sorry, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Can any of us say that we fully comprehend the love of Christ? Can't do it, can we? I mean, we can see it. We can see it as he hung there on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But we really can't comprehend the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Jesus Christ. And so God wants this inner man to be comprehending the love of Christ. Again, how do we do that? Through his word. We can see it at Calvary. Go to 1 John 4 and we'll see where God explains that Calvary was the manifestation of the love of God to man. 1 John 4, verse 9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son of the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The breadth or the width, God's love is wide enough to include every human being. Amen. Whosoever will may come. It's long enough to last from everlasting to everlasting. It's deep enough to reach the most guilty sinner. It is high enough to take us to heaven one day. The breadth and length and depth and height. God wants us to spend from the day we get saved until the day we leave this earth doing our best to try to comprehend the amazing love of Jesus Christ. And that in itself is almost a full-time profession. He wants the inner man to comprehend to the best of our ability how much God loves us. So he wants us to be strengthened. He wants us, the inner man, to be controlled, to be rooted and grounded, to be comprehending the love of God. But finishes there, verse 19 of Ephesians 3, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the hardest battle, isn't it? If you have a glass of water, it's full of water. The only way it can be filled with something else is you got to dump the water out, don't you? And that's our struggle, isn't it? We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, the inner man to be completely led and controlled and filled with the Spirit of God. But we can't do that until we get rid of self, until we empty it first of self. That's what Jesus said. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. What's the purpose of the cross? The cross only had one purpose, and that was death. That the old man can be crucified, as we saw there in Romans, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. Go to Acts 4 and we'll see that the early church, this is where they got the power to do what they did. We look at the disciples and we say, how in the world could they put up with all that persecution? Often they would get persecuted and then they'd get beaten or stoned and they'd come back together and they'd have a big time of rejoicing. Thank you, Lord, that we were allowed to suffer for you. You know, most of us would go off and moan and complain. But they were so thankful that they had the privilege to suffer for God. How was that possible? Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. It's because they were filled. Go to Acts 13, verse 52. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't some secret. It was the same thing that's available to us today. The power of the Holy Ghost. When He filled them, then they could be what God wanted them to be. And so go to Ephesians 5:18, and God makes it very clear. Simple command. He uses what alcohol does to us to explain to us, because that's something most people can relate to. When a person's drunk, what does that mean? They lose control, don't they? They lose control of their faculties. They lose control of their ability to be a reasonable person. They just lose control. God says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So don't go wasting your time getting drunk with alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit have complete control. And that's what He said, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And this is ultimately what God wants for each of us, is that the inner man would be filled with the Spirit. And the only way we're going to get there is that we've got to get the old man out, so the new man could be all in and filled with the Spirit of God. We'll talk more about this at family camp. Just a little advertisement there, but you'll learn more about how to get rid of self. What to do with self. It's all going to be about the self that causes so much trouble. But God wants this inner man that indwells each of us, that is born again. We can call it our spirit if you'd like. Remember, we're a triune being. Just as quickly, body, soul, and spirit. Body. God makes that very clear. We were made in His image. He is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We're body, soul, spirit. When we're born physically, we obviously have a body and we have a soul. Our soul is who we are. That's how we communicate with others. It's how we think. It's all of it. That's who we are. And then our body's our shell. We also have a spirit, but that's dead until we get saved. If we never get saved, we stay dead and we die and we are forever dead in a place called hell. If we get saved, God quickens that spirit and gives us life. And now there's a new man there. God says we've been given the divine nature. And this new man has been given life by the one who is life, God. And he's going to stay there. But now we have a responsibility, as we see in this passage, to strengthen this inner man. To control and be rooted and grounded and to be comprehending the love of God and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is our responsibility. But it takes work. It takes work of getting rid of the old man and the self. And it takes the work that it takes to build up and develop and mature this new man, which obviously happens through the Holy Spirit and God's Word. So it takes work, just like everything else in the Christian life. It takes work. God doesn't just hand it to us. He makes us work for it. He did hand us heaven. Hallelujah for that. But if you want the inner man to be strengthened and controlled and to be filled and to be doing what God wants him to do, it takes work. So remember that every day, every week, every month, every year, one of those two men is controlling us. And as Paul said in Romans 7, the battle never ends. So we have a responsibility to continue to strengthen and get that inner man grounded and comprehending the love of God and be filled and controlled by the Spirit of God. That all falls on us. Let's be in the Word. Let's be in church. And let's be yielded to the Spirit of God. And you know what will happen? Miracles. Amen? Great things for the cause of Christ. The inner man. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this.